This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to this, this session of our meeting. Good to see you, Sister Maiwa, Sister Rachel, Sister Vine, Sister Etty, Sister Sheo. We thank God for this phase the Lord is taking you through and where you are about to enter. Thank God, and we can see His glory is radiating over you. All right. I want you to introduce yourself. Tell us your full name, your fiance's name, your wedding date.
Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, big sisters. Okay, my name is Jagomayowa Wemimo, and my fiance name is Balogun Bamidele Matthew. Our wedding is December 2nd.
Wow. All right, Sister Rachel.
Okay. Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, my sisters. Good morning, big mommies. My name is Rachel Adekure, and my fiance's name is Oluwafemi Adanikeloluwa. Thank you. Our wedding date is December 6, 2025.
Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, our big mommies. Good morning, my sisters. My name is Vine Osato. My fiance's name is Abraham Bailey. Our wedding date is November 8.
Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, all our mommies, sisters. My name is Etiosa Izevige, and my fiance's name is Olufemi Olainka, and our wedding date is 22nd of November. Woo!
Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, our big sisters and my sisters in the house. Good morning, everybody. My name is Oluwaseun Olaide Adeli. My fiance's name is Itayo Olaoye.
Wow. All right. So our next question, I want you to tell us about your experience, your convictions that you had, that made you accept that, okay, I'll get married to Bro Matthew. And of course, you would have different pointers and different ways the Lord would have led you, to the point where the brother showed, and you just knew that, okay, this is the man the Lord has made for me. So tell us how you knew the atmosphere over you, how you knew that, okay, you think this period over you is the time, how you already knew that you already had that season, of marriage, and relationship and marriage, with a brother. Giving a pointer with how the Lord has led you. Of course, your experiences and the convictions you had that made you agree for Bro Matthew.
Thank you so much, Ma. Maybe I should start with my personal journey with the Lord, how the Lord has been preparing me towards a marriage process. And I remember when I was in school back then, there's some certain prayers I prayed for myself in making decisions for marriage. And one of the prayers was, I have been praying and trusting the Lord that any man is going to bring to me is going to be a man that will help me to get God. That was the word then, going to help me with a partner that would help me to get God. And of course, I know that if that will be visible, I'm going to be married to a man that is submissive under authority, and a man that loves the Lord and follows the Lord, according to the help and grace he receives. So, I'm not expecting my husband to come from outside, like maybe the workspace and all. So I remember the first time I met Bro Matthew, I came for cleaning in church. And yes, this was service. So I came for cleaning in church. Church just started then. So I remember when I came, usually for me, anytime I come for cleaning, I just look out for any brother that is around to assist us with the work. We don't have more ends then. So any brother I see from Bethel, I'll just invite him, brother, please come and help us. So this particular day, it was the one I saw. So so when I came, I told him, sir, please, can you just help us? And he was like, no problem, it's free. So I told him to please help me fetch water while I wash the toilet. So it was there. So at that process, of course, from teaching in the house and also how we've been taught that when you're meeting somebody for the first time, you ask them, how's your work with the Lord? How did you join this water? How did you hear about EGFM? So that was a discussion. And so they're telling me about how he joined the water and all. So after that conversation, he shared some of his experience. And so that was the first conversation. And afterwards, started reaching out. I remember I met Mama, I submitted, and we made some mistakes in the process and were corrected. So at this point also, I would like to encourage my sisters, any mistake, don't run, because I think that was one thing I fought at that period. You know, devil was fighting me with, why did you do this and all? But then I, out of that mistake, it gave me strength to also see that I need help and I really have to submit myself to be helped. And Mama encouraged me and told me to pray without face, without name and all, and following all of the instructions she gave, I started building up. So there was a particular day I went to my parents' place. I just took time to pray. And in the place of prayer, the scripture that came to me was, "Is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight." And that was the word I held on to throughout the journey process.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Tamaiwa. You know, that last phrase you said, "Where the Lord told you," it just reminded me of when Mama was ministering to us, you know, and she said, "With every season over you, there's usually a key that the Lord gives you. There's that word that the Lord gives you, and it's something that will always carry you through seasons." We cannot overemphasize that. If you are journeying with the Lord, with your relationship with the Lord, He would always give you a word. He will always give you that key. No matter how, you know, the devil is roaring, you know, because the word of the Lord has come and the word of the Lord is true, it will always carry you through. Thank you so much, Tamaiwa. Star Rachel, you get the real question.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Okay, thank you so much, ma. Okay, I will start with my perception towards marriage growing up. So I had the perception that, let me say, marriage is for the family, in the sense that, okay, we didn't have a lot of money at home, like growing up, so I need to get married to somebody that is let me use the word buoyant, that has money, so that I can be able to take care of the family, really. So I grew up with that mindset that I'm getting married because I want my family needs to be met. So I grew up with that mindset. So that also tailored my decision. So then I got into a relationship then when I was in school, because the person had money and he was selling cars. So he was ready for marriage. I've met his parents. We're even planning to, because I've already said, before I get married, we should build our house. Like anybody I'll get married to. Just because of, okay, what I've seen in my parents' life, repeat the same with my life. So we even got the land, we've started building, I know. But I knew that deep down, I didn't like the guy. Like, I just wanted to use him in that sense. So I didn't like him. So my journey with the Lord has not been so strong then. I just started growing, I know. But I knew that there was just a restriction. Every morning I wake up, I know that I'm doing the wrong thing. So there was this day I just woke up and said, no, I can't keep up with this. I just told him that I can't move on. I called his family. Well, I've seen the families and all, because I told my mom she was okay with him. And so I told him that I cannot move on with him. So that was how that relationship ended. So now coming into the light and getting to see the redefinition of marriage itself. So The Lord took me, that was when I was in school, the Lord took me that process of learning. Then I started listening to Mommy Eileen, Mommy Eileen's teaching about getting to meet Reverend K, how he was, and how the Lord has brought them. Hearing those stories, I'm like, okay. So it just changed my orientation towards marriage. So when I was in, that was my final year, I became an escort in my fellowship. So when we became escort, I was sister squad. So I was going for my CWS then. So they said, okay, they've elected you as escort. Then you need to make friends with your fellow escort's member. So that's how I got contact of the escort's member. So I got the contact of Brofemi too. Okay, so that was how we started talking. So I went back home for my CWS that year. So when I got back home, I think the second week, I've not even started talking with Femi like that, but the word just jumped in my spirit. The only word just jumped in my spirit that Femi is your husband. I'm like, Femi as well. Like, Femi is not even looking it. He can't even be my husband. Like, he doesn't even have what it takes to. In that sense, like, in that sense of my own view, like, he can, because we're totally different people. I stay in Lagos, he lives in Ondo, so no. So there was no alignment. Immediately I heard it. I was even crying that day that, Holy Ghost, how would you tell me this type of thing? So I just left it that year. Then down to, we had COVID. Then coming back to school, that year, that my final year, we started the semester. The Lord now started bringing marriage to me. And the Lord started putting it to my heart to read books and start praying towards it. Like, I have books where I wrote prayers towards marriage. Then I listened to Mommy Eileen's message. That is how the Lord started convincing my heart. I'm changing my heart towards my choice. Then that was how my heart started. Like, the Lord convinced my heart. Then in the process, when it was not the end of the semester, the Lord now brought his name back to me that it is this person who you are still going to go for. So by that time, the Lord has already prepared my heart for him already, because there was already a process for me to embrace what the Lord was bringing. So he proposed to me. It was not like a proposal because we're friends in that way, but I just felt like, oh, I pray this doesn't happen. But eventually we spoke and he told me his conviction that he also had this also impression in spirit about me. That same year, I also got it. He also got the same thing. So that was how we started. Then we met with our pastors. That was how we started the journey. So coming down to the waters, then we settled in church. We settled in FM Eli and also settled in Love Seal. That's how we started growing and we are here.
Wow. Thank you so much, Sister Rachel. At least if there's anything we're going to pick from it, it's the journey. You know, from where she started, the points where the Lord met her, you know, and she was like, okay, she needs to be tuned and be serious with her work with the Holy Ghost, you know, obeyed the Holy Ghost's instruction and continued to where she is now. We thank God for that strength. And if anybody, you know, whether here or online, you know, the Holy Ghost is, you know, has impressed upon your heart, you know, some things, some decisions, you know, that you should do, and you're not finding strength, I think you should make use of this opportunity, because there is grace. As the Holy Ghost brought the word, yes, there's grace to fulfill it. Thank you so much, Sister Rachel. Sister Vine.
Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, everyone, once again. Okay, I'm going to start my story from maybe like the question you asked. How did we know that it was the season to marry? For me, I didn't know until Pastor called me. I remember that Sunday morning, you know, as an usher then, we come very early, and Daddy was just like, see me after service. In fact, I really don't know what was preached that day because I was so scared. Daddy has never called me. I've never met him one-on-one. So all that was in my mind is, Lord, you want to report me to somebody. You didn't see my brethren. You didn't see my pastors. You went straight to Daddy Thompson. Now what could I have done? That was just my thoughts that day. So getting to his office was just like any brother. That was the least question I was expecting. I'm like, any brother, Daddy, in the season whereby we want to grow. Like the very first time you call me, is any brother? Wow. Like, I felt really shocked. Daddy gave me, I think, 2 months to give him a reply. After 2 months, I had nothing. I was just running away from him. After 3 months, I guess, I went back to say, Daddy, there's nothing. I was like, hey, go and pray. Ah, okay, sir. Then I think I met Mama. I was like, I wasn't even feeling that season at all. Like, because there were a lot of activities. I mean, there were a lot of, you know, the season upon us at the beginning of last year, it didn't even look as if marriage was something that I should, you know, dive into. And Mama just gave a word that you need to be serious, pray about it, because there are seasons. And if the season passed, it can take years for such a season to be opened onto you again. So that stuck with me, like, hey, like, okay, I was just asking myself, how would I mind now? So let's assume this season passes and the next season is 10 years. Will I be comfortable? And I sincerely asked myself that question that, forget all this ad gay. I will not be comfortable. So I think that really made me pray. But even the prayer, I wasn't too serious. Like, I'll be praying concerning marriage. God, I better talk fast too. I don't have time for this, but I prayed. There was really nothing. There was nothing until I went back to just be daddy. That was months. I can't remember. Maybe 6 months after that, there's still nothing. No, he said, okay. The way I even came to meet him, that there's someone, he has been thinking whether I should call me. But there's somebody that has come to him. He doesn't know whether to tell me the person. I said, daddy, don't tell me. Let me go and pray. Because there was a way I just trusted when I pray. While praying, I was just using my head to calculate, okay, who are the brothers that are greeting me specially? I was like, it's like these brothers started greeting me. Well, maybe it's the one, maybe. When I was tired, there was still nothing. I went back to daddy and said, daddy, tell me. So daddy mentioned the name of the brother. I was just like, eh? The first thing I saw was height. I was just like, Because, you know, while daddy is always preaching and mama, I just feel, no, I don't have any, I'm okay. I can marry anybody. But that was the first thing that just came to me, like, God, don't do this to me. I just left daddy's office. That I went home. I was like, Lord, I want to take the words of daddy as a prophet. That was my prayer. Like, I see your servant as a prophet. Anything he says, I know. I want to take it, but this just this one. Just give me another person. That next person, I will not reject. I promise you. So that was my prayer, that the next person you give to me, I will not reject. But this one, please, just let it pass me. So that was my prayer. After a while, there was just silence. Until one day, God called me. I was like, sit down. What do you want in a brother? I began to mention. He said, as you are mentioning it, I want you to check it vis-a-vis the brother. So I was mentioning, it was like, check. I mentioned the other one, check. The other one, check. And the Holy Ghost didn't even say any other thing. It was not, okay, see you, receive or don't receive. I just knew that was it for me. And I think I also want to talk briefly about, if you like call it the waiting season, how the Lord even helped me. Daddy will always tell us that not everybody would live with brethren. For me, I lived with my aunt. And growing up, I had so much freedom. I grew up with so much freedom. I really, sometimes, I don't know why my mommy trusted me that much. I was telling somebody that as at primary school, I traveled from Lagos to Abeokuta on my own. She didn't give birth to any child that they would kidnap or anything would happen to. She was that free. I could travel anywhere. I could go anywhere. Friends would come and visit her. And like, I'm going with them for the weekend. Weekend would turn to one term. One term would turn to two term. I'm there. My mommy just... So I had that freedom. I could go anywhere. Now, living with my aunt after school, it was different. It was so different. It was very strange. I want to come to church. I have to submit. You start giving me time, 7 p.m. Especially when I came to Love Seal. It was a whole lot of dealing. To me then, I was suffering. But it's now that I'm really appreciating those things, because I have to wake up to do my chores. I have to wake up to do a lot of things. In fact, maybe chores I would always do on Saturday. She would say, no, she doesn't want it again on Saturday. Must do it on Sunday. And because I know I'm coming to church, I will not close late. So I had to do a lot of things. Those periods were not really fun. I would always cry. Like, how did I get here? I'm always free. Like, why am I being caged? But now I appreciate the whole thing. You know, there were times where I just told myself, my auntie did not invite me. I'm the one that used my leg to walk into her house. That the same me, I will walk out of her house. And one thing the Holy Ghost told me was that if you walk out of this home, you would also one day walk out of your marriage. So I stood, you know, use that as a yardstick for growth. So while all those things were happening, as much as I will cry, and I'm always careful about reporting, because there's a way I will report, I'll paint myself in a good way. So I'm always very careful. I'll just like, I can endure this. So I basically used, you know, my staying with her as a yardstick. There was a time I even came to daddy, like, I want to stay with brethren. But, you know, I started praying because, okay, Lord, what brethren else will you have me stay? There was no reply. There was no response. I just knew that I have to remain here. I have to endure the whole thing. So I was just very conscious. I think that thing stuck with me, that if I walk out of that home, if I walk out of her house out of anger or even just stylishly, there's every tendency that I would also one day say I'm tired of marriage and walk out, especially based on my upbringing. That really helped me to endure. I began to see and live with her in another light, using her as a measure of growth. That, okay, if she's the man in my life, how will I handle situations or circumstances around that? So I think that helped me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister Vine. You know, one thing with being a free bird is anything you see in the air that you pick. Yes, being a free bird. But by the time the Lord became intentional about her, she had to put her in the place where she was restricted. And that is also, those are trainings. You know, it's not even now that you appreciate your years there, you know, in your auntie's place. It's when you get married. A lot of things that you picked through the process, a lot of things you will pick, you might not even know. A lot of discussions and, you know, instructions the Holy Spirit, you know, would have given you. You found grace to fulfill and do. When you get married, you will now see the fruits, you know, of those seasons you had over your life. It's not everybody that will stay in brethren's house. But wherever you find yourself, your auntie's place, your parents' place, you make sure you fulfill your reasons for staying there. All that the Lord, you know, would have you do, you make sure you do it, you know, and not paint your relationship. You know, some of us, you just feel that, okay, your parents or your family, they're not hearing what you're hearing. That will now give you, you know, the wrong way, you know, of behaving and not painting your relationship and your walk with God right. So you know that at every point you find yourself, wherever you find yourself, you know that God's life, God's kind of life that you are embodying, you know, has to move, you know, has to be shown through your moves and your dealing in that environment. So if there's anything you've picked, seeing how she moved through that season with her aunt and when the time came, even if she wasn't even thinking about marriage, the Lord that took her through the season knew that, okay, you have been faithful to a degree. It's time for us to move to the next phase. Thank you so much, Sister Vine. Thank you, Sister Etty.
Thank you, Ma. Thank you so much, sisters. I've been so blessed so far. I'll say for me, it's been a journey of faith. And, you know, I'm just recounting miracles that the Lord has really done. And I'll say the first miracle was the Lord bringing me to the place of being content as a single person. You know, I would say that was a miracle. You know, I wanted to be married at 25 so badly. You know, and the Holy Spirit told me, you're not ready. You know, I cried, tantrums. It was so bad. He said I shouldn't pray about it. I shouldn't talk about it. You know, I'm like, so what will I be doing? You know, that's how I knew how much of my prayer, thoughts, imagination was just marriage. You know, how I'll get there, I don't know. What I need to be there, I don't know. I shall just want to be there, you know. But the Lord brought me to a place of contentment. You know, I'm just summarizing it, you know. And it was from that place of being so content. The Holy Spirit is just beautiful. Jesus is beautiful, you know. It was from that place I asked the Lord, so why should I be married? You know, why can't I just be like this? You know, I was content to be a single woman all my life, you know. And I think that was when the answer came that two are better than one, you know, because there is a good reward for their labor, you know. And that was when the first thought of good reward, you know, labor started coming to my heart that, okay, this is really purpose in it, really. You know, so I would say that was the first miracle. The Lord can bring you to a place of being content. You know, when, I don't know, but when you are in that restlessness, it seems like, can it ever happen? Can I ever get to the point where, with or without, you know, I am just, as long as I'm journeying, it's okay. But that was really a miracle that the Lord worked in my heart, you know. And coming to that season of knowing that, okay, now it is time. You know, the word started coming, you know, it started coming, two are better than one. There's a good reward for labor. And I thank God for doctrine. You know, I traveled to South Africa 2019. You know, that was when, Pastor Femi called me for the first time in 2020. We served together, but all our years in service, I don't think we had 10 minutes conversation one-on-one, you know, but I knew him as, you know, a solid child of God, let me put it that way. Yeah, so it was in SA. I went through a very tough season 2019. It was so tough, You know, and when I was ending that season, the Holy Spirit told me the gospel. You know, he said, righteousness, learn about the gospels. I was in a state of searching. I was praying. I was fasting. I was so desperate. What is this gospel about? You know, that's when PFMs called me. I'm like, okay. And then started sharing the word with me. He sent me messages, you know, and one of those messages was the everlasting gospel. You know, I picked it. I wanted to know a lot about this gospel and everything. And a lot began to happen just by hearing the messages. A lot began to happen. So 2019, I said it was very rough because I had a lot of assaults. You know, a lot of assaults from the Spirit in South Africa. I was bitter with the Lord. I said, Lord, you brought me to SA because I heard it so clearly to go there. I did not just go because I wanted to leave Nigeria. You know, I heard it so clearly. I'm like, you know, I felt like I was living in a house, no roof. The rain was falling on me. The sun was shining on my head. You know, I didn't have answers. I will bind. I will pray. I will fast. You know, and all of those things. But the moment I began to hear doctrine, my warfare began to cease. You know, that shocked me a lot. You know, I've heard Daddy Thompson say there are some people you feel very assaulted in your dream. You say this one came to molest you in the dream. This one, you need deliverance. You know, that kind of thing. I was in that kind of state. I need deliverance. But the moment the word began, I don't know, things just began to stop, you know, and it endeared me more to say, I want to know about this gospel, you know. So PFMs labored a lot over me. You know, he labored a lot. And when I saw that the warfare began to reduce, you know, then I started to take notes of him that, okay, this brother, Sha, is he single, you know, and all of those things. I began to see messenger, you know, not just the message, you know, but the Holy Spirit told me. In fact, the answer was so sharp, I should remove my eyes. I should remove my eyes and hear what. It was so clear. I could not deny it. You know, everything within me was saying it. Remove your eyes and look away. You know, I came to peace with it because I don't want what is not my own. So, you know, so journeying forward, word, doctrine, you know, because doctrine began to give me a sense of purpose for marriage. You know, the word SMF legs. Jesus, mommy. Thank you so much, my SMF legs, you know, and all of those things. Because I remember after SMF legs, you know, I called Pastor Tosin. I called him, I said, sir, I just finished SMF Flex and we're entering this act 2x2. Well, sir, I'm still one. You know, please, where is my second? You know, and all of those things. So he just smiled and said, no, just relax. The Lord is in control. And I was just happy, you know, moving with the Lord, studying my Bible. The Lord began to show me my husband. You know, I saw him in scripture. Of course, the Holy Spirit told me to look away. So PFMs was not an option. You know, but showed me my husband, you know, especially from 2 Samuel 25, you know, David with Abigail, you know, just began to prepare my heart for the manner of man that he was, you know. So I was, you know, joyfully expecting and everything, but I could never imagine PFMs, no ways. So I remember now coming towards Beacon, we got talking, because one thing that happened to us when I knew that this is just my brother is that we began to enjoy fellowship better. Yes, you know, and we were friends, talking and everything. So I told him that, I don't know whether it's one that said it or the one that said it, but I think it's one that said it. That said, you know, during Beacon, a lot of prayers have gone into the atmosphere, you know, answers. You get answers quickly, you know. So I said, let me use this atmosphere to discern who my husband is as well, you know. Let me come, maybe it will be clear, and maybe PFMC will get his own wife, I'll get my own husband, and that kind of thing. So coming for Beacon, I just noticed for the first time, my heart began to enlarge towards him. I will check on him. Are you streaming? Because he had to walk. You know, sometimes he'll be walking, he's not on seat. Are you seated? Are you following? Me, I'll be like, but what is all this one with me? Why am I not doing this? You know, and he was doing the same. You know, he's my friend, but there's a way he does not really check on me, Sha, that he was now checking on me and everything. But that's like, it can be, you know. But I went through a lot of seasons, let me not say seasons, but experiences that began to paint him as the man, but I did not have faith for it. No, I didn't have faith for it because he has been my pastor, my leader. He's living the life that I just started hearing, you know. So I'm like, it cannot be, you know. Ah, Lord, but you told me that this is a beloved son. Will you not risk his destiny with somebody that is just starting, you know? So I was giving strong reasons why I cannot be his wife. You know, in fact, I will pray for him and pray for the woman. You know, I'll pray for her, that capacity and everything, that, Lord, it cannot be me. You know, it cannot be. If you don't have people, I have people for you. You know, because sometimes it's dear to us. It's dear to me. You know, it's very dear to me. I'm like, this destiny cannot shake. You know, so I remember now going to Ilorin. A night before, I also had an encounter. I woke up, I said, Lord, it cannot be. I went to Lori, I met Pastor Tosin, you know, we were talking, and he said, will I faint if he should tell me, or if Femi comes to propose to me? I just smiled, I said, I will not faint. But that was a very troubling time for me, because I didn't have faith to marry him, to be honest. You know, I began to understand why I kept having experiences, but I didn't just believe I could do well, you know, because the Lord told me labor, good reward. I know he will labor over me, God. But me, I don't know what I will contribute to this man's life, you know. But the Lord really brought experiences to stir up faith in my heart. I think for me, that's really the crux of the matter, faith to marry. You know, I know Mommy Duke prayed that day when we came out, you know, she was praying for single people, faith to marry, you know, like, faith. You know, I've always seen faith to marry as maybe no provision. You don't have house. You don't have car. You know, and the Lord is saying, okay, go and marry. Now be wondering, Lord, how will I take care of this person? But faith that the Lord can raise me. I didn't have the faith to be raised like that, to be raised so quickly. And the Lord began to assure me, I can give you speed. You know, not just speed, but began to show me experiences that, wow, the Lord has worked miracles in my soul, like miracles, miracles, you know, and to really just stir up faith in my heart that I can journey with this man. You know, I'm made and prepared by the Lord. And there are also many, many preparations ahead of me, which today is one of them. So I don't know if I've answered the question, but thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister Etty. Thank you for blessing us. I mean, who was not even blessed by that? Well, you know, one thing that just came to my mind is, you know, as sisters or even as individuals, you know, following the Lord is not just going to leave you in a limbo and all of a sudden just bring the atmosphere of marriage just comes over you. No, no. You know, there's one thing. If there's one thing that, you know, our mommy in the Lord has stressed, as singles, have that relationship with the Lord. Have that sweet relationship with the Lord. You can come to that point where, like she said, that the Lord just gave her that spirit of content. You'll be in contentment with the Lord. Like, you are enjoying all the Lord is bringing for you. So by the time that time now comes, that, okay, the Lord will know, even yourself, you know, that, okay, now I see. I see why this is coming over me, because you have been able to track your different experiences and walk with the Lord. It's actually good to have a walk. You know, sometimes some people will just be thinking, that, okay, what is this walk? What is this walk with the Lord that I'm not having? You know, you can go within, have conversations with the Holy Ghost. That, okay, Lord, if you know you're somebody that you can't really track, you can't really say whether you have a walk with the Lord, you can actually go back. You know, go back, retract your step, and have that conversation with the Lord that, okay, I want to be able to come to the point where I know I have a sweet relationship with you. You know, I can just be walking when I'm faced with something, you know, you just move back. You just think, you know, retract within. You know, I say, the Holy Ghost, can you imagine what just happened? Okay, what kind of response was I supposed to give? You know, how you can be doing things, you know, walking in the house and you're talking with the Holy Ghost. You know, it's very, very possible. You can actually come to that point, you know, with your walk with the Lord. Because trust me, the Lord, are you walking with him? Are you, you know, noting your experiences, responding to instructions, commandments? You know, the Lord's giving you. The Lord can tell you to move, but he will not tell you where he's moving you to. And that point of walking in faith, that point of that movement, that journey you take is also part of the things that builds our faith for our lives. I mean, when you can have that faith, then there's a point you get to the Lord will know that, okay, you can move to the next level. You have faith enough to carry your husband and, you know, further relationships that will come along. Thank you so much, Sister Etsy. Sister Sheon.
Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, Pastor Meg. Good morning, my sisters and big sisters. Good morning, everybody. Okay, first and foremost, as I wasn't really that, my heart wasn't prepared when Boy Itayo came, and it was kind of a very funny kind of thing. But I could remember that year 2023, but the thoughts keep coming to me that I need you to come up. Like, I need you to come up. I need you to prepare yourself. I need you to ready yourself. I mean, those things were coming to me, and I was just feel like, I shall my prayer, the Maka Bible. So, like, you know, those thoughts, those were the things I was. But 2024, early 2024, I could remember that I was having a conversation with Mama in the room, and Mama just asked me the question, like, are you preparing yourself for marriage? I mean, I hope it's not that you have any speck in your heart. I was like, Mama, it's nothing. You know, I used to have like nothing like that. But then I want someone who is tall, you know, at least tall. Yes, because I grew up being sporty. I grew up going to stadium and seeing basketballers and footballers. So I watched them on TV, NBA and all sorts. So I was a bit, I've absorbed that life in me. I grew up seeing Fashion Police and so watching a lot of things, online magazines that, you know, modeling and all sorts. So I have like a kind of posture, a kind of picture, but I felt like it wasn't really there. So by the time real life came, yes, because it wasn't real, so I realized that, I've been living a fake life all this while. So, I mean, that those things were just thoughts that I had nursed in my heart, and I was actually looking forward to something to actually fit into it. But in between also, at a certain point in my life, I felt like I didn't want to get married. Like, I just want to be, I want to work, I want to have a career, I want to make money. Like, yes, I wanted money. Like, lot of money. And I wanted it for myself. Like, even if you have problems, so you have a problem, don't worry, I'll solve it. I mean, that's the way I felt, because, and I think one of the things that also touched that thought was because my mom was overall, I mean, when things were not really popping before, my mom was like, covered everything, you know, people never knew anything was going on at home. So I just felt like, a woman can do everything. So fast forward to, well, that was around January 2024. So that was the first time I was going to have a conversation with Itayo. He has been an usher here. I'm just going and go out. I mean, it was even media department that actually gave me exposure in church. Like, I'll just sit down. After church service, I wait for Pastor AB and Sister Lee. We're done. I pack my bag. I go. So, and one thing that the Lord actually used on time also to break some things was marriageable singles and singles in gathering. I could remember that he kept coming. You have speck in your heart. You need to deal with that. I'll just be like, so I feel like sometimes when we sit and those words are coming, you know, we feel like it's nothing. I'm not like that. But when reality comes, that is when you now realize that, So, my friend, Jocas, was the one that introduced me to him first. He told me that he needed something to do concerning his work, social media, kind of. So, we just moved on. So, later when Pastor Thompson, Daddy introduced me to him, it was a funny thing, though. Ha! And Daddy just told me, Rita, do you know this sister? He was like, yes, I know. In my mind, I was just thinking like, maybe is it work or something. I was just looking at him and saying, okay. Sister Sheung, do you know this brother? I was like, yes, Daddy. I know him in church. He's Usher. He was just like, okay, both of you. I was like, I don't understand. I just paused and I was like, people were there. And the brother just said, Daddy, thank you, sir. Daddy, thanks. I was like, thank you. And then he left. And then I saw Pastor Dayo Mustafa. I was like, Pastor Dayo, something happened today. And I explained to him, I said, I don't even know him. I don't know who he is. Because my idea of the person you want to marry is someone that you have known in total. Like someone that you're friends with, someone that you've moved together for. And at the same time, I did not have any possible image in my eye. But at the same time, I felt like that is just the way it should be. Not someone that I'm meeting for the first time, and they are telling me that both of you. But I went to meet Mama because I was already praying concerning someone. Mama told me, I want my daughters to be sensitive in the spirit. Don't be dull. Be sensitive in the spirit. I said, because I was already praying because I said, drop it. I just look at Mama like, I stepped out. And you know, those period, my sisters are like the part I'll just go to them. Did you hear what Mama told me? People look at me, say, that she will just pray. You know, we pray to God. You know, we believe in. You know, Mama said, okay, we'll pray. I just want us to pray. So just go and pray. Just go and pray. I'll say, hey, Lord. I prayed like I didn't pray. It got to a point, I just kept having this thought, like, you need to respond. Like, you need to respond. As I responded, you started talking. But it wasn't deep coming from the depth of my heart. And I kept praying, but it wasn't really serious. Sometimes I would just be like, God, like. But one thing kept resonating was that my mom told me that don't marry anybody outside of God. She said, let God choose for you, Shion. And I just realized that I can actually possibly choose for myself, because I almost got into a relationship 2020. I told Pastor Hebi, he told me, okay, just pray. Even though if you want to, just talk once in a while. I'm just giving you permission to talk once in a while. I said, okay. We just started talking from once in a while. Talking became every day. And Pastor Hebi wasn't pleased with me when he realized. He was like, I said once in a while. Now it is every hour. I was just like, there's nothing. We were just talking. And then the issue then was that the brother wasn't really aligning. In fact, Pastor Ibi did not even take it with me. He looked at me straight. He said, like, you will just go like that. And you'll be like someone without a family if you should follow this path. He said, Mio, I will not allow you to make such decisions. When this old situation came around, I could remember that one day we were coming from church. In my heart, I said, God, what if I said no? That moment, I felt something come out of me. It was like God left me. I was serious. In my heart, immediately, I said, no, 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 God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I did not mean it. I had to say, I'm really sorry. Till today, sometimes I question that thing because I feel like maybe it was in my head or maybe I was just one overthinking what happened. I didn't really know. I was just like, God. I was actually expecting the spectacular, you know, the way God would come. My daughter, that is him. Boy, it did not happen. So I just kept having that feeling deep down inside my heart, like, Shem, that is just the way. And at the point the Lord told me, I had this conviction that Pastor Thompson is your pastor, is your father, and is a prophet. So you believe the word of your prophet just as it is, and then it will surely come to pass. I remember that was what I held on to, heat, that I can't be misled. This can't be a mistake. Even though it doesn't look like what I was. But then they said, you don't judge a book by its cover. It wasn't until I actually opened my heart to relating with him very well that I got to see what is inside. That it's not, you don't judge people by their stature, you know, but inside that thing, there are gems that the Lord had actually deposited in there. So I just thank God that, you know, God helped me, helped my heart, and the words that parents were speaking to us. Marriageable single is not a joke and it's not a waste. I mean, those things actually sow seeds inside of me, you know, and the marriages that I've seen, you know, those patterns gave me hope that I do not have to be a 21-in-1 kind of woman. A woman is meant to be gentle, to be calm, to be soft, you know. And I really thank God that today God has brought me here, you know, as a result of all this.
Thank you so much, Tashim. That was a lot. You know, one thing I want to bring out, you know, from all she has said is there's a point of prophecy, you know, aligning with the path, you know, the Lord is taking you through. And there's a point of instructions. Instructions can come to you in different levels. The Lord can give it to you directly. The Lord can give it to you through your parents, your biological parents, can give it to you through your spiritual parents, can give it to you through your, even your brethren, your friends, you know. And when it's coming, you know that this is the Lord because of relationship you have, you know, with the Holy Ghost and how he has taken you through. You know, I want to ask a question. You know, there's a place of conviction. I'm directing this to Stasheon. How did you get to that point of, to go that conviction within you that this is the person? One advantage we have over us is this family we belong to, our spiritual family, you know, and how we've been taught to always walk with the Lord and be in the Spirit is an advantage. You know, there are some times that the Lord can be prompting your heart, but due to, you know, various, you know, things that has overshadowed our mind, you know, sometimes the Lord can bring promptings, the devil knows, and he comes and bombards us, you know, with different things. And all we are seeing is what is happening around us, and the Lord is trying to speak. So when he sees that, okay, I've been prompting this person, it's not, I'm not getting any response. It comes through another way. It can come through your brethren. It can come through your spiritual parents. It can come through your pastor. Now you know that, okay, this is actually for me because you're hearing it from outside. Then you now find grace to move with it. You know, that can also happen. Those are just different dimensions in which the Lord reaches us. So I wanted to ask, at what point did you get that point of getting to conviction and developing love? Because he was just coming to you, you know, for the first time. And, of course, if you don't love him, you will not proceed. If it's the Lord that is bringing it, the Lord also will put love. I mean, that's the best way of actually getting love, actually, for your husband. You know, how did you, you know, navigate through your conviction, having the conviction to actually go ahead, you know, and loving your husband to be?
So, I remember that there was a time that we were told to read Bible verses in church, and the book of John 1, verse 16, said, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." That shown this journey, there is grace for it. I have given you the grace to actually continue to journey with this man. And then there was a day I was just in the kitchen and Pastor Ebi just called me and I picked up his phone. He said, "I sense fear. The journey of marriage is by faith. You can't do it by your strength. You can't do it outside of God. Faith." And so there were times when you were talking, there's something that I also had to praise God. I said, whoever I'm going to marry must actually be someone grounded in the word of God. So whenever we're talking, the side that I'm seeing is from this brother, I'll just go and bring one Bible verse that's just big and he will just explain it. I'll be like, God, when I say grounded in the word of God, wait, you are speaking revelation. This thing is big. Like, what do I call now?
Thank you so much, Tashio. So, when prophecy comes on you and you have to journey with it, like I said earlier, there's always a key that the Lord will give you. You said you went to the Lord and the Lord gave you this verse. And the Lord even gave a second confirmation, you know, when you received the call from your pastor, and he said he senses, and the Lord will have him tell you the same thing the Lord had told you in the place of communion with him. So very, very important. You have a prophecy, any place you find yourself, any season, key, the word is always, it cannot be overemphasized. Because even after you get into that journey, after you are in it, anything you find yourself, any face or any, you know, challenge you find yourself in, you have that backing that the Lord spoke to me. You know, not that I was giving this man. No, the Lord spoke to me. Even if, you know, sometimes we those are just help, actually, that the Lord has placed in our house, in our community. When you have daddy or any of your pastors say, do you know this person? You don't know, you're not friends. Okay, yeah, be friends. Those are just little help that the Lord will bring. Let's see how it goes. Then that place of you having conviction, that place of you having your word with the Lord cannot be overemphasized, because that is what will carry you through. By the time you max out that word, the Lord will bring another one again that will continue, that will let you go through the journey. But if you don't have any word and you go, you're going on your own, no prophecy or no prophecy. So please let us take that. Thank you so much, Sister Sheo. Sister Vine, I want you to answer this question. What would you have done differently, you know, as a single in terms of living purposefully, you know, and even handling of pressures, you know, around you that is associated with being a single lady and the rest? What would you have done differently?
Okay, Ma. Really, my testimony, all through my singlehood, I really cannot say that I was under pressure. I know I was sharing with my sister just this morning that I know at some point, especially my mom, she only mentioned it once. And the way I replied that sealed it forever. Because I know I was really very harsh. I was very strict. And there's a way I like to put up a very strict face so that you don't bring some things around me. And maybe I would have been quite tender. I would have been more gentle. I would, because I knew that brought fear in my mom, especially, like, does this girl have feelings? Is she thinking it? She sent a lot of people to me as though I'm like, I know what I'm doing. Like, just to be sure that I'm okay, I have feelings, I'm considering it. because I could just imagine if the Lord was going to get her through this situation, I most likely have lost it or didn't do well in that regard. So I would have been more tender, more gentle, more peaceable in dealing. I just don't allow anybody ask me questions as regards that I'm okay. I'm not putting it on my face as single. I want to be married desperately. So there's just this facial, even in family, nobody really asks me because... I just
buy my a sister only unto the Lord. That's an advantage. That's an advantage, you know, irrespective of her age, she wasn't, you know, brought under any pressure of any sort. Because at some point she was always contented with her relationship with the Lord. So that's something, at no point should you be brought under pressure. That thing pressure. You don't know how far it can take you. Your heart. So if there's anything we should look out for that and be content, like Sister Etsy blessed us. Thank you so much, Sister Vine. Thank you so much to Mayowa, Sister Rachel, Sister Vine, Sister Etsy, Sister Sheo. Thank you so much for blessing us.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeosinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.